This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at this verse, and it'll be more than just one lesson, even though it's just one verse. In order to understand this verse, there's a lot of things that we need to understand that we are facing. And I want to just read 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 this afternoon. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This morning I made mention of the fact that we need to have discerning spirits in the age in which we live. It used to be in our nation that if someone said they were a fundamental Bible-believing Christian, you could know exactly what they believed. And you could put their doctrine and their statement of faith, and you could read it, and you could trust that they meant what they said. Today, it's not that way. Today, people will use the same words that you and I would use concerning Scripture, concerning salvation, but give a different meaning to it. Today, people say, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, yet they don't believe the Bible, nor do they believe in Jesus Christ. We've come into an age in which there's great deception going on, not only in our nation, but around the world. I mentioned this morning that as I was driving home, I heard on the radio a discussion about witchcraft. And it was brought open, and they were just giddy over all of these, quote, discoveries that were there with witchcraft. That is becoming evident and more permeating of our nation as well. The Bible tells us about that, and it tells us that we are to be discerners, and we are not to believe every spirit. In order to understand what John is talking about here, I think that we need to know, first of all, as he's saying, that we are in a great spiritual battle. This is not just intellectual, this is not just in the physical realms, but it is in the spiritual realms. In order to understand the spiritual battle that there is, we need to understand, first of all, why this is going on in our nation. Why are people rejecting Christianity yet embracing every aberrant doctrine that comes down the road? For many years, when I was growing up, and when likewise some of you who are out there that are about my age or older, there's a strong push towards materialism and possessions. And materialism was a strong thing in our nation. It was that you were to have more, bigger, better. And part of this is really a reaction against materialism. And people have this spiritual need, but they still don't want to turn to God, so they turn to other spirits. And so it's a reaction against that. It's also a reaction against, I think, a lot of the things that we're being taught in the school system today, where we're taught, for example, evolution. We're taught that, I remember hearing this, that back again when I was in grade school, that science had all the answers for life, and by the time I would be my age, people would be living to close to 200 years old because all of the diseases would be cured. And science was looked at as the savior. Well, as we know, there's still no cure for cancer. There's still people dying of heart attacks and heart disease at a greater rate than ever in our nation. Although the medicine has some cures, that it cannot prevent death. And the things that we were promised about science and medicine didn't come true. And so people are reacting to that and wanting some answers to life. The third thing is there's been a strong rejection of organized religion. One of the things that happened when I was growing up as well is that sometimes people didn't really, a lot of men did not really teach and expound on God's word. They never gave you answers for why you should believe what you should believe. They didn't teach the principles of God's word, and really never, I hardly ever heard the Old Testament referred to or quoted the whole time I was growing up and being taught in the church. And I wasn't shown the systematic theology that is there in God's word and how it has answers to all the questions of life. And so I think that there's a reaction in our nation today just against religion. Religion in general, and they want spirituality and experience and not religion. The fourth thing is in light of that, it's that many people want to have their own experience, and they are having experiences And the occult and the demonic, Satan is a great deceiver, and he'll allow you to have an experience. He'll bring all kinds of experiences into your life if that's what's going to deceive you and get you sucked into following him instead of God. But that's a fourth thing that people appear to be finding and are looking for in our culture today. And finally, the fifth thing is that there is really a spiritual world. There are angels and there are demons, and they are in a great spiritual battle, and at the heart of that battle is men's souls. And God tells us about this battle throughout his word, and a lot of times those verses are just kind of ignored in many churches, and it's not really taught about the deception that is brought, not really by men, although men are the ones that bring the false teachings, but who is behind these false teachings and what is the result of these false teachings. So this is a lot of the spiritual battle that we are facing in our culture today, and this is exactly what John is warning us again. And he's saying that God never says that we're not to try the spirits, but we are to try them. Now, there's behind, as I mentioned, behind the aberrant doctrines of men are doctrines of demons. Apostle Paul tells us that. He tells us that there would be those who would fall for the doctrines of demons and the traditions of men instead of the Word of God. What's amazing is people will believe in the demonic realm before God. There are dangers that have come into our culture, and you see, and I alluded to them this morning, and one of them is there's a real fascination with the demonic realm in our nation. And the other danger is that a lot of Christians want to totally ignore the spiritual realm. And those are the two extremes that are dangerous. We need to come and understand what the Bible says and the Bible's perspective, and we need to train ourselves so that we understand how to test the spirits. First of all, we need to learn that there are spirits. And what is he saying when he says test the spirits? What does he mean? Well, first of all, God created angels. He created angels. We find that in Psalm 148, verses 2 and 5. Spirit beings which are invisible to the human eye were created by God for a purpose. And according to Psalm 148, the purpose was to praise him. That's what angels were created for, was to bring praise and glory to the name of the Lord. Lucifer was the highest of all the created angels. He was a beautiful being, and he was created to lead the other angelic hosts in the worship of God. But pride entered his heart, and he fell. Spirits were created before the universe. Angels were created before the universe was created, before the rest of creation. We find that in Job 38:6-7. They were created before man. And if you just want to turn to Job 38:6-7, we'll just read that. Job 38:6-7, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, as God laid the foundations of the world, the angelic host cried out in joy. So they're created before man. As I said before, what happens is the angelic beings, although they are not omnipotent, they do not know all things, they know much more than men because they have been in existence longer than any man. And they have seen things, they have observed things, so their knowledge is greater than men. They have been in the presence of God. All angelic beings at one time were in the presence of God. As we're going to see in a moment, they aren't all there today. But at one time they all were. So they have seen and they understand much more than we do, but yet they are not omnipotent. They do not know all things. They are not God. Occults would tell us that angels are forms of God. They are to be worshipped as gods. There are various cults that would tell you that. That is lies. That is deceptions. But we see that they are created before man and consequently know more than men. And it says that man was created a little lower than the angels. There are names and general descriptions in Scripture which kind of give us pictures of what angels do and what God has them do. Now, we find in these include the description of angels, which means messengers. And we see that oftentimes God uses angels in Scripture to bring messages to people. For example, the angel Gabriel came and told Mary that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. And we see that an angel came and spoke to Daniel and talked to him. Throughout Scripture, we see that angels were messengers. They're also called the sons of God in Scripture. They're called ministering spirits. That is, spirits who seek to serve. And we see that the angels that God uses, those that are not fallen, are there to serve and minister to the saints of the Lord. They are watchers. Other words that are used in Scriptures, the holy ones. We see that they are God's host. They are princes. They are principalities and powers, is what they're referred to in the book of Ephesians. We also find specific titles of a few of the angels that are revealed. First of all, there's Gabriel, which means the mighty one of God. As you may know, he was the spirit being who revealed to Joseph and Mary the plan of God concerning the birth of Jesus. Michael, which means who is like God, he is also referred to as the archangel. When Jesus comes again, he will descend from heaven with a shout in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. With the voice of the archangel, Michael will be the one that proclaims the Christ's return. Of course, the occult world perverts the biblical truth that there is one archangel, and it teaches that there's a multitude of archangels and various hierarchy of angelic beings, which really isn't revealed in Scripture, that there are multitudes of archangels. Lucifer, Satan, or the devil, this is one that is going to be particularly interesting to us in light of this particular verse that we're studying in 1 John chapter 4. We see that Lucifer is the one who was created, as I said, to lead all the other angelic beings in the worship of the Lord. And we see that he is the chief adversary of God's people. He is the one that is the one angel, fallen angel, that is still allowed into heaven. He comes before the throne of God, bringing accusations against the saints. And he tries to show to God how we are unworthy of being called God's people. And the Bible tells us that we have an advocate with the Father, and that is Jesus Christ, who comes when Lucifer comes bringing accusations against us before the throne of God. Jesus is our advocate and says, they are mine, my blood covers them, and my blood makes them righteous. There's things that we need to know about the nature of spirits. First of all, they have the marks of personality. Every passage that deals with spirit beings puts them into a personal category, and we are instructed by Scriptures that they have intellect, will, and emotions. And we know that they have will because they willfully chose, a third of them, willfully chose to rebel and sin and were cast out of heaven by God. The second thing we know about angels is that they never die. In Luke chapter 20, verse 36, Jesus said during a discussion about the resurrection that in the resurrection human beings will be like angels and never die. Therefore, we know that the spirit beings that God created are immortal. Whatever the total number of spirit beings is, that number has been constant ever since God created them. And the number that they have is a multitude, because in Scripture, Jesus referred to them as that the Lord would, if he desired, the Lord could send legions of angels to rescue him. And the numbers that he used were like 72,000 angels would come to his rescue if he called upon them, but he willfully chose to go to the cross. There is also a reference in Scripture to the fact that there are 10,000 of 10,000 And that number at that time that the word was written was the highest mathematical number that they knew of to refer to, 10,000 of 10,000. So we know that it's almost mind-boggling the number of angels that God created, and He created them all for His purpose. We also know from Scripture in Matthew 12:25, they cannot reproduce. Angels cannot reproduce themselves, nor can they experience physical relationships of marriage amongst themselves, because Jesus said, when we enter into heaven, well, we shall be like the angels and neither be married, nor will we reproduce in heaven. They also said that they do not have flesh and bones like us. We find that in Luke 24:37-39. Although we know that the angelic beings can take on the form of a man, and also if you look at Scripture, they always do take on the form of a man. In Scripture, they never take on the form of a woman. Whenever it's referred to in Scripture and they're seen, they appear as a man in a masculine form. But they do not have flesh and bones like us. They are spirit beings. They do have a moral character and response. We find in Mark 8:38 that the unfallen angels are referred to as holy, while 2 Peter 2:4 refers to the fallen angels as having sinned and refers to them as evil, fallen, or demons. And so we see that they have moral character and they can make moral choices. And unlike we sin and we sin, and we prayed for people that are sinners and they're rebelling against God. Some of them said, I don't want to accept the Lord. But we still pray for them. Why? Because as long as they're alive on this earth, they still can choose to follow God. The angels had one opportunity, and one opportunity only. When Lucifer fell, he laid out his plan and deception before all the angelic beings. And at that time, all the angels that God created had a choice. And it was one time, a one-time choice. Are you going to believe God or Lucifer? 2/3 of the angels said, we believe God. 1/3 said, we believe Lucifer. When they said they believed Lucifer, their fate was sealed eternally. They cannot repent. They cannot experience salvation. They are doomed. And we see that Jesus, when he spoke to the demoniac and the angels talked to him, and he said, have you come to cast us into our fate before our time? They know what their fate is, and yet they continue to willfully walk in rebellion because they cannot turn back. Their fate is sealed. Angels are superior to men, as I mentioned. Psalm 8:4-5. But they are inferior to Jesus Christ. We find that in Hebrews 1-4. Why? Because they are created beings created by Him and for Him. He is their creator, and He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. They are not all-powerful. Satan himself does not have the power of Christ. Satan himself does not have the knowledge of Christ because he is a created being like any other angel. It's just that he was created to be above the other angels and lead them in worship. So we see that they are not equal to God. This flies in the face again of some of the lies that are being told in cults. For example, the Mormons would teach that Jesus and Lucifer are half-brothers and that they're equal in power. It would also teach that man can aspire to be gods, just as Jesus aspired to be a god and Lucifer aspired to be a god. Men can aspire to be God. And so we see that this is lies again, but it also gives us a picture into the angelic realms. Fourth is to their appearance. We find at least four things in Scripture concerning their appearance. They look like men, as I mentioned, in Genesis 18:2 and Hebrews 13:2, Luke 24:4 and 24:23. In fact, every spirit being referred to by gender in Scripture is in the masculine. It's never referred to in the feminine. And we see that the Lord Himself, when He came and appeared to Abraham, He brought two angelic beings with Him. Those angels went to Sodom. They appeared as men, and they were the ones that were instructed to destroy Sodom. and they were with the Lord appearing to Abraham. Secondly, they have the ability to peer wearing unusual clothes or garments. We see this in Matthew 28:3 and Luke 24:4. They shine or may be white and glowing in appearance. As the Bible teaches and that this is the case. And then it also says that we're not to believe a spirit being simply because he appears this way, as the Bible reveals to us that Satan and the demons of hell can come and deceive through appearing as shining beings. And so we are to be aware, just because they appear that way, the fallen angels can appear that way as well. They sometimes have a striking facial appearance, as we find in Matthew 28:2-4, Acts 6:15, and Revelation 18:1. The striking facial appearance that seems to offer much of an angel's ability to radiate light. It is dazzling, attractive, and causes a great deal of curiosity or attraction to men. And this is one of the things that you see that fallen angels will do in appearance, and why John is writing, test the spirits, see what they really believe. Just don't go by the appearance. People have talked about they've had these spirit beings appear to them, or they've gone into a trance and they've seen these beautiful beings, and they're so beautiful and they emanated all this light. How could they possibly be evil? Well, simply because they appear that way doesn't necessarily mean they're the unfallen angels. They could be demons as well. They sometimes possess wings, as we see in Scripture. In Isaiah 6, we find that the prophet had a vision that included the class of angel called seraphim, which possessed 6 wings. And do all of the spirits appear with wings? And the answer is no. In Scripture, not all of them do, but some of them do as well. The final thing to look at is the location where the Bible tells us these spirits are. First of all, they were all at one time in heaven. And we know that they were all created as angels that were unfallen. God created all things good. And when Satan fell, as I mentioned, he took a third of the angels with him. However, 2/3 remain in the heavenly realms with the Lord to do his bidding. And we see that wherever God is in the third heaven outside our atmosphere in stellar heaven, which we don't know where it is specifically, that is where his angels are. Every day offering continual praise, adoration, and doing his will. And we're going to see in just a moment the characteristics of how they serve. They are in the heavenly places, Ephesians 6:12. Are the demonic spirits there? Well, I already said that there's only one fallen angel that has access to heaven that Scripture tells us about, and that is Satan. The Lord has allowed Satan access to heaven to come before his throne. However, the other fallen angels are upon the earth or in the stellar heavens, not in the third heaven or where God resides, where his throne is. They are on the earth where we live and breathe. These continually are working to frustrate and defeat the plan, purpose, and people of God. And we need to understand this. They are real, and they are here, and their purpose is to undermine and destroy God's plan and purpose and to come against God's people. Finally, it tells us that they're in the abyss, or what we are commonly referred to as hell, in Revelation 9:11. Right now, Satan is the chief angel over the bottomless pit, from where he will come a host of the demonic spirits in the tribulation period. And so we know that Satan can assign any number of his evil angels to work on a particular person. And God has greater power, however, and has greater numbers of angelic beings to come do his will to minister to us and seek to help us to stand against these. I just want to look at a couple more things, and then we'll close this afternoon. Looking at the power of spirits and angels. Power. First of all, it's the number we learn from Matthew 26:53, as I mentioned, that Jesus was going to call at least 72,000 angels to come to deliver him if he wanted to, but he chose not to, because it says there that he was going to call 12 legions of angels, and there's 6,000 Roman troops were in a legion, so that would be 72,000 angels. In Daniel 7:10, we find that Daniel saw 10,000 times 10,000 that stood before the throne of God, an innumerable amount of angels. In other words, for all intents and purposes, from our vantage point, the number of angels is innumerable. We find this in Hebrews 12:22 and Revelation 5:11 as well. Second, we know that there are limitations to angels. We read in Matthew 24:36 that according to Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, angels are limited in knowledge, as I mentioned, specifically in regard to the second coming of Jesus Christ. He said that the angels don't know when he's going to return, but only the Father. We said that they're limited in other ways, in presence and power. And we need to understand this, that angels cannot be everywhere at once. And we also, they do not have the ability to be godlike in their character. And we do not have to fear the fallen angels because God is greater than them. The Bible tells us it's greater than he that is in us than he that is in the world. In other words, God is greater than Satan. Satan, I remember hearing a message one time, and the pastor, the gentleman bringing the message says, Satan is nothing but God's bellboy. He does what God allows him to do and ultimately for God's purpose. And Satan may think that he is going to somehow usurp God's authority, but in the end, he is being used by God to bring about God's judgment upon men who refuse to return and repent of their sin. Spiritists say, are giving unsuspecting people the impression that angels are like gods. And this is coming into the church, by the way. As these false teachings are coming into the church and as people are not discerning, they're allowing really occultic techniques. They're just talking to the young couple that was with us today, and she's grieving over her sister who's attending a church down in Texas where they're taught about mind power, that you can call things into being. None of us have the power to call something into being that's nothing. That's God's power. No spirit can do it, no angel can do it, no demon can do it, and surely man can't do it. But yet that teaching is permeating the churches, and some churches that claim to be evangelical, Bible-believing churches are bringing the mind cults and the mind power teachings into the church. It's just think things into being, and they've got to happen. That is a lie, and it's a seduction, and we need to test the spirits that bring those types of things, teachings. The third thing that we want to look at about angels is the speed of angels. I just saw an article in the paper about the speed of light, and they're trying to determine if they've got the speed of light down right, because now they've been able to look out into outer space further, and they think that they might have the speed of light wrong, because we're looking at it in a linear thing, and then they're talking about that it's really a curved thing, and that there may be differentials in the speed of light, and the speed of light is so fast that it's amazing. But I want to tell you, angels are faster. And how we know, the Bible tells us that. It says that in Daniel 9:21 and Luke 2:13, that they cover great distances in a very short amount of time. They are not omnipresent, that is, they aren't present in all places, because the Scripture tells us that. But yet we see that God sent an angel to minister to Daniel, who left the throne in heaven, and a day later was talking to Daniel. This kind of blows apart the theories on that light is the fastest thing in the universe, because it's not, and angelic beings can travel at a faster rate of speed. But it also tells how they can be in heaven worshiping the Lord and then on earth ministering to his saints. As God sends them, they are able to get to where he needs them very quickly. But also, because they are not omnipresent, neither are the demons and neither is Lucifer. And so we need to understand that as well. Their abilities. They have far greater power than men. We see that in 2 Peter 2:11, Acts 12:7 through 10, and 23, and also Genesis 19:11. It should be noted, too, that they are just as active today as they were in New Testament times. And we need to understand that. Just as they were there in the New Testament, they are still here today. And the Bible tells us that the purpose of the unfallen angels is to be to minister to God's people. I don't know about you, But I can look back on my life and I can see a number of incidents in my life where I know that God supernaturally preserved my life on at least 5 or 6 occasions that I know of. And sometimes you can stop and think about in your own life that you should have been in an accident, or and you just go, oh, wasn't that lucky? No, it wasn't lucky. It was the Lord watching over you and props, and in all likelihood sending an angel to watch over and preserve your life. I shared with you before the little incident when I was 3 years old. My dad found me hanging on the barbed wire fence in the middle of a pond with the ice broken. And there's no reason I should have been hanging on a barbed wire fence in the middle of the pond with the ice broken. I should have been underwater, drowned. He couldn't explain it, but I can explain it that literally there was an angel there that hung me on the wire until my dad came. And I think that we've all had experiences where we know that God's protection is there, and there are spirit beings protecting us. But there are also spirit beings that desire to deceive us, that desire to cause us to stumble and fall, that desire to come against us. And we need to understand that we are in a spiritual battle, and we need to test the spirits and not just give in to those powers. But we do not need to fear them. We know that the Bible teaches that one of the chief activities of evil angels is to disseminate false doctrine, which is more prevalent today than any other time in history. And one of the things you have to look at is whenever it got close to a significant event, right shortly before the first coming of Christ, there was a lot of demonic activity going on. Before the flood, there was a lot of demonic activity going on. And as even though the demons don't know the hour nor the day when the Lord shall return, He has told us in His Word, and they are aware of the fact that there are certain events that are transpiring, and they are kicking up the activity. And you can see that in our world, the demonic activity has gotten much greater, especially when you look at light of the fact that the Scripture tells us that they are behind false doctrine, disseminating false doctrine throughout the world, and even into the church. We learn the purpose of spirits. First, their purpose towards God. Those that are unfallen, it's to praise and worship Him. We find that in Revelation 4, 8 through 9. In Revelation 5, 11 through 14. In Revelation 4, we witness a scene in heaven in which the multitudes of the heavenly host perpetually worship Him and proclaim His holiness. Why? Because God created all things, and that in and of itself makes Him worthy of the praise of every created thing. This shows how we have lost our perspective on worship today. We really don't worship God the way we should, even as Christians, as Creator. And we need to, because He's worthy of our praise. It also explains why there is such a push to make evolution the lie that's believed, and not to believe in a Creator God. The false spirits, and at the heart of this, because really, Satan is the one who first perpetrated the lie of evolution in the Garden of Eden. He said that Adam and Eve could evolve into godhood. That's exactly what he said. You shall be like God if you just eat this fruit. You're not God now, but you will become God. That's evolution. That's changing. Evolution means to change. You're going to change into God. That's a lie from Satan in the pit of hell to try and deceive mankind. Notice, too, that all angels, good as well as evil, are to worship God, but men never are to worship angels, ever. And we see that when an angel appeared to John and he fell down, the angel told him, why are you, stand up, you don't worship me. You don't worship me. There's only one worthy of worship, and that's God. And so we see that men are never to worship angels, but yet today there's so much done to promote the worship and belief in really worshiping angels. Second, their purpose toward men can be summed up in 5 points, and then we'll stop. First of all, they are to reveal things from God. We find that in Genesis 18, Hebrews 13:2, and Revelation 22:8 through 9. And we see that in the last days, there's going to be an angel when the world is in total rebellion against God, there will be an angelic being that will go around proclaiming the gospel, along with 144,000 witnesses. But there is going to be an angel proclaiming the gospel message in the last days. So we see that angels reveal things from God. Second thing, they are to minister to believers and to those that will inherit salvation. Remember, the good angels are the messengers from God Himself, which means that they are able to carry out His will in your life and mine. That would include ways in which God might use angels in cooperation with the Holy Spirit to preserve, protect, convict, convince, convert unbelievers. God can use angels to draw people to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting in listening to some of the Muslim people that have gotten saved out of Islam. Some of them where they haven't had the gospel preached. It seems as if there are angels that helped in their conversion into believing in the true and living God and Jesus Christ as His Son. They are to encourage. You find that in Acts 27, 23 through 24. It appears from Scripture that angels can do this directly, or they can influence someone else to do this. Fourth, they are there to protect. Psalm 34, 6 through 8. Psalm 91, 11 through 12. Isaiah 63, 9. We see that angels were there to answer the prayers of the saints that they offered to God, and God sent an angel to Peter to set him free from prison, there to physically protect and preserve his life. We know that in the Old Testament, when Elisha was surrounded by the Syrian troops, and his servant was terrified, and Elijah told him, "Lord, allow him to see." And he opened his eyes, and he saw a multitude of angels surrounding them. And that God was not going to allow the Syrian troops to kill Elisha. And so we see that there is protection there a lot of times that we don't know. And when we're doing God's will and seeking to be used of God, God can supernaturally protect us with His angels. They are to care for the righteous at death in Luke 16, 22. And this is an amazing thing. You stop and think that when we die, we're escorted into the presence of the Lord by angels. Those who were created above us escort those who were lower than them into the presence of God, where we become His sons and daughters. And we are conformed to His image completely and no longer bear the scars of sin in our lives. Well, that's just to give you a little bit so you understand what spirits are, because it tells us to test spirits. And one of the things is, simply because people see apparitions or visions or something, they think that it automatically has to be from God. No, there are two types of spirits, as we saw. Those that are unfallen angels and those that are fallen. And we need to test the spirits to see if they are from God or not. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand this as we begin to look at what this verse means, that we are to test the spirits. Help us to understand what a spirit is, that it is an angel. And Father, that we are not to believe the doctrines of demons, but rather we are to test the spirits, whether they be of You or not. And Lord, we are to allow Your Holy Spirit to help us to discern and to be discerning people. Lord, now I pray that You would go with us and help us to have a spirit of discernment to test all things that would come before us by Your word and by the power of Your Spirit. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.